Start recording.
Wow, it's been how long? It wasn't more than 2 months, I think, but still, it feels like it's been so long because like a lot has happened.
Yeah, it's good to see your faces. But I know everyone's really busy.
I haven't seen Judy that much, even though we're living in the same city and going to the same church. Like, I barely say hi to her. I mean, a lot of things happen, so I couldn't hang out with people much this past few weeks.
Yeah,
I had
Allie had
lunch.
a little, not too big
You
problem.
know, it actually is in tune with what we're gonna discuss today. It wasn't even an accident or anything. My ACL just snapped and I had to have surgery. I say like it's nothing, but it's been a rough time. Now that I've been through it, I can talk about it like it's nothing, which is good. I'm just grateful that everything's in recovery now. So yeah, I'm experiencing a very slow life.
Injury and illness does have a way of like forcing you to slow down. Like, okay, we're going to like make you sit here because that's all you can do.
I was so like hyper and wanted to do so many things, and then I was forced to stop all of a sudden, and that, I don't know, that just changed a lot.
That's a good opening because instead of doing trivia, I actually wanted us to do a mindfulness exercise,
Oh, cool.
spacey
I
today.
liked it.
Yeah, because
I
I
liked
know
it.
that. Like me as well, and I know you guys are really busy, like PhD, oh my gosh, like working 9 to 5, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, I thought a mindful exercise would be good. It's nothing special. Just if you know the 5-4-3-2-1 method, we're going to try that.
I haven't really tried it,
I think I know
but
it.
I know about it.
You can explain to us.
Sure. Yeah. 5-4-3-2-1 is using the five senses, where we name five things we can see, I think it's four things we can hear, or four things we can hear, three things we can touch, two things we can smell, and one thing we can taste.
Taste right now, in this moment.
Now is you can also like if you remember like a smell or a taste.
Yeah, you can
Because
do
I
something that you
do
did that
remember that.
day. But it also, if you're racking your brain for an answer, that's kind of counterintuitive. Intuitive. It's 7 a.m. Please forgive me. So we're going to spend maybe, I think, 2 minutes is actually pretty long, so we're just going to spend 2 minutes doing that. I'll probably edit it out. But I want you to just, I'll also try to commit to it, and just if we run out of things after that, just sit here and admire what you're sensing right now, whatever that is. Okay?
Do we share out loud?
No, because it'll be performative, and we don't want you to be performative.
Okay, so we won't get to know what each other's senses
Nope,
are.
this is just for you. Start. Okay. Okay, it's been 2 minutes and 11 seconds. That went kind of quickly, didn't it?
It did go quickly.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was actually really funny because when I got to the three things I could hear, I was like, I got one, I got two, and then suddenly I heard a neighbor talking and I was like, oh, thank you. That was easy.
Like, I will stand in for the third.
It made me realize how much of my senses during the day were limited to sight, because I'm just sitting in front of a computer. Although none of the things I saw or none of the things that I remembered seeing were from my computer. So I guess I wanted to avoid that.
That is interesting that you spend most of your time looking at the computer, but when you remember what you've seen that day, I guess your mind's like, the computer's not what's important.
And all the smell was food. For some reason, I was very hungry today. So I had a lot of thoughts around food.
It was a hungry day for Judy.
It was a hungry day. I went to the hospital today.
Oh, so you smelled hospital smell.
No, actually, I didn't smell anything at the hospital. But it was very like sterile, white, and clean, as I guess hospitals should be. But I got shots in my leg because I was having knee pain.
I know how that
Yeah. But it was like I didn't injure myself. Nothing happened. I just started feeling a random pain in my knee joint.
think last time we had a there was a time in the episode where we said pray for Judy, and I think it applies this time too.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Anyways, we have an episode today.
Yeah, so actually, I came up with these questions a bit ago.
A bit ago.
I've looked over them to make sure I sound professional and like I know what I'm talking about.
I looked over your plan and it was very well prepared, so I'm looking
You
forward
always sound
to
professional, Leslie.
come down.
You have a professional mind.
Wow. I hope the PhD group that's looking over my application will listen to this and be like, you're right, she is professional sounding.
They will see how good you are. If they don't, it's something with their site.
That's true. They're losing out. They're missing out.
Well, I like how this is going so far. Let's get started on the questions. You guys are so sweet. I'm glad to see you both again. I wish I had my coffee though.
Smell the coffee in the air. Taste the coffee.
Be the coffee
Be
in the air. Well, I'm reminded of SpongeBob. All right, and so the reason I had you do a mindfulness exercise is not just because we're personally, feeling the effects of life, but I think there's an idea that we've talked about in prior episodes that Korea is very focused on going hard at a lot of things. And this might be a generalization, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. Because I thought, I felt self-reflected a lot about all the ways I say Korea's like this and Korea's like that. I'm like, can I really say the entire country is like this and like set it up against my own country? What do I know? So I've been doing some self-reflecting. But there is this idea that you see people within Korea, Korean people talk about called Bali Bali. And so I wanted to first ask you, what is Bali Bali?
This expression in Korean when you say ma malmi kapada, like you how do you pronounce, how do you put that in English? It's like
Like
you're just
your mind is in a hurry.
palipa. I think it stems from that. It's because I don't want to generalize, but we do tend to generalize, just as you say. So we find a thing in, that we see a thing happening in certain people, and then you tend to generalize it to the whole population. It might not be true, but they do have this thing of like everything has to go very fast. They're very impatient. I think that would be a good word. They want things to be done very fast, and they don't want to wait for things. So, for example, I don't know, waiting at the hospital is very bothersome for them. I noticed. I spent a lot of time in the hospital lately, so that's one example I can come out with. But I can give you like an actual example. You know how they press a number? You have a number for a waiting line, and then they call you so you can register for your hospital and everything. So I was called, but I was in a wheelchair at the time because I couldn't walk. So it took me a while, and my friend was pushing me, but I think it lasted for like 10, not even 10 seconds. But then she pushed the button for the next number. I was like, wait, what? I was trying to get there. But yeah, that's one example of how fast, and they can't wait, and they don't double check. I mean, that person didn't double check to see if I was going or not, but it's just that I observed this behavior, and not just that person, but yeah.
I'm sure partly it's overwork, but I do know when you say elevator, like there was a meme I saw where someone was like, you can note that Koreans take this elevator because like all the buttons looked, like normally used, and then the button that's closing the elevator doors quickly was like really overused. You could tell just by looking at it.
By the way, talking about elevators, I was using the elevator in the subway this week, and people usually do press that button to close the doors. But it said on a piece of paper that the doors close automatically after 30 seconds because they know people will push, but then like there's no use, don't push, it's gonna automatically close after 30 seconds. I found it very funny.
Oh, that seems like a long time though. Maybe I've been
It is a long
affected.
time for it to close doors. It doesn't sound like a long time, but it is.
It is. I guess you can use that to name five things you can
But
see and four things you can hear. Okay, so we've already gotten into the second question of what are some examples of Bali Bali, or just like rushing about, I suppose. Judy, do you have any?
Oh yeah, I sense it when I get off of work every day. I go online too, just like the busiest line. It's the line where you get if you get off at the wrong time, which is pretty much the same time that everyone else gets off work. You just crammed into the subway, and there's just like this rush. Like everyone's going the same direction. Everyone's just rushing down the stairs and all the way to the subway, to the trains. And there's so many people. It's so crowded, and you can't if you're too late. You can't even get onto the subway train because there's too many people. It's too cramped. So you have to wait for the next one. There's really no point in rushing because either way, if you get down there, you're probably not going to be able to get on the first train that you see. But there's like a flow. Like everyone just, it feels like everyone's just following the same speed. It's like, you know, when you're like, imagine like a sport or like a group like a marathon or like a race or something where like everyone just kind of goes at the same pace, you know? Oh no, imagine like you're on a freeway and you're driving, right? You're driving on the freeway and you're supposed to like keep up with the pace of all the cars, right? So you just drive at a similar pace that the cars around you. That's kind of like what it is. There's like a flow. You just walk at the same pace as everyone else. So if everyone else is rushing, then you kind of feel like you should rush too because there's people behind you.
You certainly stand out if you're like going really slow and people will get frustrated with you too. And they're like, why are you walking so slow?
Well, if you get slow, you're probably going to get trampled. There's too many people behind you.
I've been slowing down a lot due to my injury. Mm-hmm. And just the thought of people just pushing me and hurrying me up and down the stairs or like, I don't know, the subway. And it just sounds even more awful than it used to because I hate crowds like in general.
Just don't ever, ever go on the subway line 2 at 6 p.m.
to avoid the rush hours.
Yeah.
I remember also, I guess an example of Balibali that comes to mind is when I volunteered. So I used to do that every few months or so. You know, when COVID happened, it became more regular. And they would usually put me doing dishes. I remember them rushing me all the time to like do dishes as quickly as possible. But I would be really confused because I thought, okay, if we do them as quickly as possible, then we just stand here for like 10 minutes until the next batch of dishes comes up. Like, why do I have to do them this quickly? We don't really need to do them this quickly. But if I just like did them and I was trying to be like, gakumada, like I want to get it all clean and perfect. And they're like, no, just do it really quickly and get it up. And I'm like, why are we? So sometimes I didn't feel it just in that situation. But I would feel it often where people wanted to get it done really quickly. And I'm like, what is the reason we're getting it done like so quickly? Yeah. I wanted to ask, what does Korea, like, why do you think Korea has a reputation for doing things quickly? And I guess it's also like, why do you feel that it does things so quickly? Is it really palpable everywhere? Or like, are there many examples that you see in daily life?
So I guess one more example of how quickly things are done in Korea is when you move. I personally won't hire one, but there are so many companies that help you move, and they do so in a couple of hours. But they come to your house, and they are like, there's an option where they can pack everything for you. They put it in a truck, and then they deliver it to your new house, and then they put it back, like organize everything, and that just in 2-3 hours. That was unimaginable for me before coming to Korea.
Yeah, even getting a new place, you're like sort of rushed. Like, oh, you can move in right now. You want to sign it today? And I'm like, I just saw it, kind of thing. To me, that seems like a red flag. Like in the U.S., if someone wanted you to make a quick decision, that's usually told as like, this could be a scam. This could be a red flag. You know, you need to be able to think about things slowly. But in Korea, like I experienced lots of the rushing. But it turned out to be just like, oh, this is just how we do things, and it's not a scam. Like, oh, okay.
When I was viewing houses, the lady told me, like, you should decide now because someone else is going to come and see this house in like 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's that fast.
Wow, yeah.
Mm. I do wonder if it's related to overcrowdedness, especially in the city. There's not a lot of room for people I think it's a big thing in Seoul, particularly. Like, I just found out how big of a percentage of Korea lives in Seoul. It's pretty much majority of the country. And there's just so much, I guess you could call it competition for anything. Like, even getting space at a restaurant. It's like, if you don't reserve anything, everything is booked. You have to, like, prepare kind of in advance if you want to do anything in the city. If you want to, anywhere you want to go that's pretty much popular is going to be, like, fully reserved. I do wonder if there's a slower pace of lifestyle outside of Seoul in the countryside.
I can testify because we lived in Nonsan for 6 months each.
I lived there for a year.
You lived there for a year, okay. I lived there for only six up to 6 months.
So I know twice as well as you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know more than I do, but I experienced it more recently, and still, it was still slower than life in Seoul. So I can give just a very, very small example, but like the buses would come every 20 to 30 minutes. So you like there's no way you can rush. You have to look at the timetable and just be there when the bus comes. And like if you miss it, you miss it. You're gonna be there for 20 minutes. So you can slow down. You can practice grounding in 30 minutes
Yeah.
while waiting for the bus, or you get a taxi. That's usually what I did.
I remember when I first went to Korea in 2016. I was like, a rosy-eyed, like, wow, Korea is so wonderful, and I have no work to do because, they didn't treat study abroad students seriously. Like, we learned a K-pop dance was our final when I was a study abroad student. And so, like, I was trying to be serious because I'm a nerd. But mostly I just had a lot of time on my hands and did fun things. But I felt even then like, wow, things move fast here. And I wrote about it. That's how I remember. But I wrote about it at the time. I'm like, I don't know if there's a place for me in Seoul. And I quote, like, I wrote that because I said, I really love it. It's really interesting culture, but it's so fast. I don't know if I can do it. But I came back anyway. But I did wonder because I went to the countryside once on my own. I was like, maybe there's a place for me in the countryside. Like, this is more my style. And I still think about that. I still wonder, like, I wonder if the pace of Seoul just really gets to you. I have heard about younger people, and this is just sort of like I don't have a lot of data to back it up, but I've read articles from like Korea Times or the Korea Herald about young people who leave the city for the weekends, or they're looking for more like slow living sort of content or lifestyles. There's like pseudo slow living because it's really hard to actually live slowly. So people are looking for like the aesthetic of slow living, or they're looking for slow living part-time. Which I still think is better than none at all, but it is interesting to see the aesthetic of slow living. I think that's a really unique concept that's happening, which wasn't one of my questions I put down, but it's something I'm thinking about.
And there's more and more like this sort of like aesthetics emerging. Like there was not so much anymore, but there was this thing with living in Jeju, and Jeju is known for having a slower life. It's more of a countryside island, so there's no rush over there. There's no like city life per se, except there's this one big city in Jeju, but it's still not as busy as in the mainland.
Yeah, I do think it is tied also to the work culture. I don't know. Whenever I always feel this when I'm in the subway station. Just feel like I'm in this survival zone. Like every day is survival. Survival to get to where I need to, survival to get through the day. And I feel like, I don't know if it's because like this is one of the only few places I've really worked, or if it's just like this in the big city, or if this is just work life in general, but it feels, it's not even I'm like purposely going at a fast pace, just can't really stop.
So, like the thing about city life in Korea, it's also the fact that people have this mentality of needing to suck it up. I mean, in Korean, you would say potija. How do you say that in English? Like,
Like kind of
just
endure.
yeah. So I've seen this theme in a lot of one of those like dramatic, dark societal dramas, and they touch upon this subject a lot. Like they say that people just have to endure a lot of things, and that just gives them more and more stress, and that's how you have a lot of accidents and suicides and just people being fed up with city life and wanting to go to countryside, which is also like a new trend. It's something about this work hard, play hard, pali pali culture that just is not working at from a certain point.
I think it's a difficult thing because living in a place where it feels almost the opposite. The environment is like, Leslie, you need to just rest. Don't be too ambitious. Don't work too hard. Not like it's wrong to do those things, but like you don't have to. And why would you? And so like no one really encourages you. Just like keep pushing, go through it. And I miss it sometimes. I look at social media and then I feel inspired again. I feel reminded, like, oh yeah, I can keep working hard and keep pushing through. And yeah, I need to work hard every day to realize my dreams. And in my head, I'm like, this sounds very Korean. And it's like, oh, you'll see me here. Like I think those kinds of thoughts. It's like, oh, that's very Korean. Like, I didn't think that kind of thing before I was in, before I actually like visited Korea, because I was really happy. I became happier with like where my life was going once I went to university, and I'm like, oh, there's so many other options, and I have such a strong community here. Like, this is great. But it wasn't until I went to Korea that I was like, oh, I'm really going to also like focus on what I want, on what I want. I think that's not a bad thing to have that encouragement and have so many people in the environment around you think like you should really work hard. You should, you know, everyone has hard times. You can get through. You can realize your dreams. But there's that other side that we've talked about where like everything happens too fast because people are just like working really hard and there's no end. It seems like there's no end, and I think a lot of people don't see an end. So like Ali said, there's a lot of mental difficulties people go through, and sometimes they don't get out of it. So I think that's really hard, and I'm glad that people are taking steps to either move to the countryside or just go there for a weekend. And you see like these shows becoming popular, like on Netflix for mindfulness. So I'm thankful that people are like, oh, well, maybe Korea doesn't have to be this way in a few decades. Maybe things can change.
I think that is just excessive. It's not good.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I admire their diligency, and I could never be as diligent as Yoshimi as they are. And that has become a problem sometimes for me because I am not as diligent. Like, I like to take things slow as well as like work hard, but take turns with doing that. And I think coming to Korea, I just felt this pressure of always having to work hard for everything. But at the same time, my nature says that I need to slow down. So I have this inner battle. Like, I have this outer influence to work hard and then this need to slow down.
Yeah, I think you always need a balance depending on the environment you're in. If you're in an environment like ours where it's so busy, you need someone to be like, hey, slow down, take a rest, take a break. And then if you're maybe in an opposite environment like yours, you need someone to say, hey, maybe like there's something you could be doing. Or maybe you can endure through something or push through something that seems hard.
Yeah, I was going to ask one of the questions I'd written down because Ali brought up about how this might feel different from when she lived in Romania. So, is this something unique to Korea? And from the knowledge that we have, like I know we haven't visited and really immersed ourselves in every single culture, but we have immersed ourselves in at least one other culture. And so, how does this compare? How does it feel compared to other places you've been or know about?
I won't say it's unique, but I would agree with what Judy said earlier that the density of the population like plays a very important role. Because even in Romania, if you think about where I'm from, the capital, and the capital is more densely populated than other regions, and there are other densely pop densely not a soul densely populated Romania densely populated version cities. And you can totally tell there's a difference in how people go about their lives. It's slower in the countryside or in the smaller cities, and it's a lot more busy in the capital. And I've experienced that a couple of times. Like when people want to go out of my Bucharest, they go to, I don't know, the mountain or somewhere in the countryside so they can relax and then go back to their lives.
The city itself is definitely has a busy pace, and I have lived in wider environments where it feels like it is slower, as in the environment is slower, people seem to be moving slower. But within those environments, there are still people who I think it really depends on personality and how you grew up. There's always going to be people who are working hard, who are always kind of go, 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 even within the slow environment. Somehow, there's always just, I was one of those people always doing something. That's why I realized, I don't know, it's one of those moments where I feel like I'm more Korean than I realized, and I'm feeling that more and more day by day, where it doesn't matter what the environment is. Because I got very, I grew up in Canada, where it's very slow, it's pretty slow paced, even in the city. And I felt frustrated. I felt a little bit, I think I would feel trapped if I lived there long enough. And I did. I lived in the suburbs. I think the suburbs is not for me. I think I would have to go either like city or countryside. But suburbs is kind of somewhere weirdly in the middle. It doesn't feel slow enough to be slow, but it doesn't feel, it's not fast either.
I think everyone is probably really different, and like affected by the environment they grew up in, but also by their own personality, like you, Judy. So some people, they really like moving quickly, getting lots of things done in a short amount of time, and then moving on to the next new thing and meeting lots of people. And that's something that really gives you life. And that would be, I think it's great that you can live in a place like Korea that is really conducive to that sort of life. But sometimes I think there might be people who, even if they grew up in Seoul, they just can't, either they can't keep up with the expectations, or they don't wish to keep up with the expectations. They're like, why can't I just live quietly? Like, why is everyone pushing me all the time? Like, why can't I just like own a cafe? Because that's hard enough. Like, why do I have to keep pushing? I have to make it bigger or do this. And I think that could be really hard for some people. So you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself and your decision. And I hope that you do, Judy. It's like, yeah, I think I belong in the place like this.
Think someone like me actually needs an opposite place. I think I need to live in the countryside because I think, well, because like because I'm the one who puts the pressure on myself, even if there is no pressure from others. I'm the one who keeps making myself move fast. So maybe I need a slow environment to force me to slow down.
I have read before, though these are just like one-off instances. They're not like everywhere in the country, but hotels that would you pay them to kind of take away your phone and take away a lot of the things that distract you or demand your attention, and then you're just like there, and you have to be alone with your thoughts, or you have to be alone with nature, or with a few other people who are there, and that can be. I mean, in my head, I'm like, this is a little extreme, but you're right in some ways that I need someone. Like, Ali sent a video of someone who like put their phone in a case, like that was locked and like it wouldn't unlock except after a certain amount of time. I think that could be kind of dangerous because, like, what if something happens and you really need to call somebody? But there is, it's so addictive to want to be on all the time. And you have the ability to be on all the time. It's not just like, well, I really wish I could still work, but it's after hours and now I'm home and I can't contact anybody. So I guess I'll just read a book and go to sleep. Like, we don't have that kind of lifestyle now. We have a, you have to keep going and you can keep going. You don't have to stop ever.
Never.
You don't ever have to stop. So I understand when you're like, I need to just be force myself. Going home was partly like that for me, where it's like I'm really bored, but also it's good to kind of be forced to not do things all the time.
And then there's, for a lot of people, there's such a long commute to and from work. And that commute is not very relaxing. So it's such a, even in that time that you could spend on your own, trying to like just be alone with your thoughts, just kind of blank out, just space out, whatever. It's still like there's just so much going on around you.
And I mean, you're all, and from my experience, I always feel stressed because I have to keep like pay attention to where I am, and I have to get off the subway or the bus, and I have to transfer and everything. So.
So I think we have established that there is something, maybe perhaps not just unique to Korea, but living in Seoul especially feels very work hard, rest hard, play hard. I guess I kind of like push to add the rest hard because I feel like people will do that too. It's like I really need to rest, and therefore I'm going to visit this new coffee shop and take lots of pictures. And sometimes I feel like that's not quite work, but I don't always feel like it's quite rest.
I feel like it falls more under play hard.
Yeah, play hard maybe.
Rest hard might be like sleeping for 12 hours.
It depends on how you
Find sleep.
How I define sleep is
I
sleep.
heard you define sleep. Why am I not able to
I
do that?
close my eyes
How do you
and
define sleep? But that's a good title. Because, like, for some people, maybe just going to a cafe and taking a couple photos and drinking three coffees is rest.
I reference it because I would think that, oh, I really need to rest, and then I would feel really burdened by the idea of rest. And it's like, well, there's so many ways I can rest. Which one do I choose? And then I would be like, what do I do? I should enjoy myself with a new cafe. Like, there are so many to choose from. There are so many new ones. And sometimes I would feel pressure to go out and rest a certain way. Or same thing with like resting, I guess. I think of a Sabbath and I'm like, what should Sabbath be? And I feel a lot of pressure sometimes to figure out what Sabbath should be and then spend the whole day doing that on a Sunday. And I'm like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing today.
Just not very restful.
It doesn't feel restful. And I think, so that's something I have to deal with individually. Like, some people are like, it's not that big a deal, Leslie. And I'm like, it is a big deal. But like trying to figure out what is actually restful for me as an individual, not what other people tell me I should be doing, or what the inner voice and the inner critic says like you should be doing, because this is what I think is rest, but what really feels restful. And like this past Sunday, I like read an entire book outside because it was a nice day, and that felt really restful because it wasn't a book that would show me, like it wasn't one of the books I've been reading that's like PhD worthy or academic, or Korean literature. It was Korean literature, but I'd read it before, so it like wasn't anything new. And I really enjoyed it, and I'm like, this feels actually restful. Or like I've been playing a video game recently, and I'm like, this feels actually restful. So I think everyone has to kind of figure it out on their own. Like, what's restful for you?
I think strangely, because for me, productivity is always so like focused on myself. It's about what I need to get done for myself and my goals. Sometimes it actually is restful for me to do something that's helping someone else. Because it's not for me, I feel like I can do it with a restful mind more so than like whenever I'm, I don't know, whenever it's something for me, it's like it's so much, so much focus and so much like brain power. For example, my friend is, she's writing a book, a memoir on her life, or so not her whole life, but something that happened in her life. And so she's asking me to read her manuscript. It doesn't feel like productivity in the same sense that I always define it, although it does feel like something I do need to do. But I've been going to it because I think I've genuinely been enjoying reading it. And I don't know, like whenever I try decide, like I sit down, I'm like, I'm going to read today. And I start reading something just for myself. It always feels like I'm reading because I have this goal of reading. I don't know if it's because I actually am wanting to read in that moment, like reading for the sake of reading. But now that I have something that I have to read, it's like,
I have so many books waiting for me. I'm literally looking at them right now. And I can't pick them up, like I can't pick any of them up and just read, because I feel the need to, I don't know, jot things down and take notes, and so I can remember, so I have this, so I have knowledge, so I can pick up things.
I think that makes sense for you as an academic, because reading is a big part of what you need to do for work, and so reading for you feels like work, because that's the season of life you're in. Even if you got like a fiction book that had nothing to do with what you were doing, like it still might feel like reading is still work, like whatever you read, it's work.
People reference fiction in sociology articles as well, so even fiction for me now is not restful.
You just need really crappy fiction, like something that no one would want to reference ever, but then I don't know if you would enjoy reading that.
I'm past young adult and chick flicks, so
so we have established that there's a feeling of like go, but sometimes I feel like that Bali Bali culture has also sort of shimmied into the pack of like the dark side of Korea. I don't hear about it as much. Maybe I'm just not in the circles. But when I was first interested in Korea, you know, you want to learn everything about the country if you're in like one of those groups like me. And you're trying to figure out what, you know, it's made of, like what the culture consists of. And you think that's it's really wonderful because of the K-pop and K-drama, but then you also come up with the opposite. So it's like everything is really wonderful. Then I know that there's got to be a dark side to it. So then we start talking about the dark side of Korea, the dark side of K-pop. Like the school system is so intense. And then like the K-pop idols don't eat enough and no one ever sleeps enough. And like you talk about like, wow, the dark side of Korea. And I think there are still articles that come out like the dark side of K-pop that you never knew. And I'm like, everyone knows.
I think it's just the way that it's being portrayed in media types, so that it becomes the dark side because it's not normal. But it's normal. I mean, people, some people, I don't know, have a dietary plan that's more healthy, some not, and some work harder than the others, but they're not being as talked over. Like, these subjects are not being talked over.
Everything has a dark side.
That's how the force stays in balance.
Even the church has a dark side.
It does, yeah, for sure.
We've all got a dark side. Like the moon.
Now I'm thinking of the Mulan song.
I feel like the whole world is busy. I feel like we just live in a busy world now. I mean, with social media, even if what's around you is not very busy, you can still make yourself busy. Just because you're not moving, just because you're not going outside or walking around doesn't mean you're not, you know, in a world of your own, scrolling on your phone. That rhymed.
Living on your own, scrolling on your phone.
I was saying, I don't know. I don't know if how many people know how to really rest nowadays. Maybe it's just because I haven't been to the countryside. Unless you're one of those like old people who have always lived like that.
But there's so much satisfaction though in living quickly, and I feel that.
Is there?
Like living part of the day like that was like, oh, I'm rushing from thing to thing to thing. I remember I've heard it called glorification of busy, where even in my undergrad, people are busy all the time. It's like, oh, I have this club to go to, and I'm also like running for the student council, and also I have 5 classes today, and I guess I'm going to eat at some point, and I have to lead a Bible study. Like it's very go, 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 go. Wow, aren't I so cool? I'm so popular, and I'm so busy, and I have so many important things to do. Like, I feel that sometimes when I also talk. Be like, wow, look how busy I am. Look how important I am. And I have to realize that I'm being that way.
I don't remember having such a busy schedule as an undergrad, except the fact that I was working while studying, so I was an exception. But
We don't have like
clubs like in Korea or US, and
I don't know, people just do what they want to
you're
do.
outside classes. Obviously, you study, but they have their own hobbies and you just enjoy that.
So I think it's
I'm used to like a slower, I wouldn't say slow, but a slower culture in Romania. But it's becoming more busy, like work hard, because also the advancement of technology, and like we're so used to having everything on demand. There are a lot of researchers that say that this new generation is used to having things very quickly, and their attention span is also like
smaller
than what other like previous generations have.
I think I don't like to be alone with my thoughts. I don't know what to do with myself. It's always something. I need to always fill my surroundings with something.
That brings me to my last question. What's something that we three can do to remind ourselves that we don't have to live super, super busy lives? Like, what's something that feels restful for us? For me, it's playing the video game that I have now. Like, not all day, but like 30 minutes to an hour each day. Play one battle a day. It's like a strategy game. I really enjoy that, and it's really fun. And I don't have to share it with anybody. I don't have to like make it into anything productive. It's just like my little. This is just my unproductive time. Yay.
I think we can
And
define.
at least between us three or listeners, we can define being unproductive just a time where you set aside your mind literally, and you don't have to think. You go for a walk, or you listen to music mindlessly, or you just watch something, I don't know, very easy show or entertainment show, or watch a movie that you've watched 100 times and you don't have to, I don't know, be very pay attention to it. I don't know, anything that just lets your mind rest.
I want to just, at the end of the day, and when I come home, I just want to like plop down on my bed, close my eyes, and just turn off my mind and know that it's okay to not think about anything, to not have something to do with my hands or with my brain. I like those stillness exercises, those like breathing exercises, you know, where you focus on your breathing so that you can't focus on anything else.
I remember I did a walking exercise at a Buddhist temple, and that was my favorite part of the temple stay. Just walked back and forth at a measured pace. I think they were hitting a gong or something. And you know, it takes minutes even to like really fall into, but after then it was like, this is really meditative.
I have to walk with one crutch now, and I have to synchronize that one crutch with my bad leg in recovery leg. So I have to like think about how I'm pacing myself. But after a while, it becomes mechanic, so I just do it mindlessly. And that itself lets me rest my mind. And I'm like, just, and then I look around and I'm like, oh, I walked like 500 meters. That's cool.
You can call it your slow living leg. It's your slow leg.
It.
Your leg is
I'm
practicing
learning
slow
how to
living.
live slowly. I mean, it is. I'm actually thankful. I like. It sounds weird to say that I'm thankful for having this injury, but I, in a sense, I am.
I think it's okay to be thankful as well as sad about the injury. It's like this is not great, and it kept me from seeing friends, made me feel vulnerable, but also like it slowed me down, and I needed that. Well, I have to go feed a cat. So send out a
Can't just
shout
feed
out to Izzy
itself.
for me.
Hi, Izzy.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun, and We'll be doing this more consistently, so.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that.
Yes.
You know, whatever we're comfortable with, because also I do not want to burden you with more to-dos.
This will be my rest from a day of not rest.
It's actually very restful to talk to you guys. It doesn't feel like
it is restful.
Something I need to do, although it's a podcast. Like, mm-hmm. we're actually doing it. We have to edit it. But while we're doing it, I don't actually think about all the things that come with it. Like, it's really restful to just have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason we started it, because we enjoy this. And it's a time for us to just, I don't know, relax and talk about stuff.
It's a relaxing moment with a cup of coffee.
Next time, I'll definitely have the coffee. With it's our figurative cup of coffee.
Symbol of rest.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I gotta go. But love you guys a lot.
Okay.
And see you next time.
Rest a lot.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget to rest.